Township?
There it is. Good morning.
Good morning.
Is it working? All right. Good to see everyone here this morning. Special thank you to the young ladies for leading us this morning. Job well done. Nice to see we've got an aspiring praise and worship team coming up here. Well, good morning again. Thank you for this opportunity to share this word with you. Question is, who is your God? First of all, that sounds like pretty simple to answer that question. Lord Jesus Christ is my Lord and my God. But after I got to looking at this question a little more and studying a little more, is this really my God? I'd like to read from Exodus 20, 3 and 4. That's the first and second commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or likeness of anything that is heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I am the Lord your God, a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of them who love me and my commandments. When I first think of when he talks about graven images and idols, first thing I think of is statues. You know, what I have in my house or anybody that I worship as a graven image. You know, when I think of other gods or idols, I always think of something physical, created in place of God. And as you read through Scripture, he warns against seeking anything that takes his place, that we think more highly of than him. In 2 Peter 2:11, Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against the flesh. What is he talking about here? Just the visual sins that we're aware of? When we think of visual sins, it's the most obvious ones. Drunkenness, slander, you know, just all those visible ones. What he's talking about is about anything that we value more than God. It's easy to say that God is first in our life, but is he? Timothy Keller, pastor church in Manhattan, refers to these as counterfeit gods. How do we know what is a counterfeit god or idol in our life? It's anything that absorbs your heart and imagination, preoccupies your mind. A counterfeit god is whatever you look at and say in your heart. If I can have that, then I will fill my life and have meaning and value, and then I'll feel significant and secure. Is that God? Or what is that we most value higher? What are we thinking about more? Because Matthew 6:21 says, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Another sign of a counterfeit God is the fear of losing it. What are we most afraid of? Is afraid of losing God's salvation? Or is it some material thing, or just anything that keeps our mind? What are some of these gods? what he's referring to. Power. That is a big one. Look about the Old Testament is repeated over and over. All these kings and judges, what was their downfall? They relied on their own power. And they saw their kingdoms fail. Not only in the Old Testament, well, the history, you know. You got the Romans, the Babylonians, the Egyptians. Modern day history. Look at all the leaders. What do we have? Hitler. And who was the French one? Napoleon, was it? And the Russians. When they think they are the power, down they'll go. Success. Is that what we focus on more than anything? That's an easy one in this world today. Everything seems to be mired in competition. Everything. Wherever you work, whatever you do, school, play, everything is competing against each other. You can do it. Grab a hold of yourself. Do it yourself. And, continual comparison. Still do that. When I was young and younger, struggling, I was always saying, what's he doing that I'm not doing? Look at that car he's got. Look at that truck he's driving. You know, I was focusing on material things, social status, jobs, and also another one that we see in the news and so is actors. You know, you see them rise and fall. Athletes, you know, they get to stardom. They're relying on themselves. They've done this all, and it doesn't last. Businesses, we saw some major corporations. Their goal was success. Money, that could be a real big one to focus on. Seems like you need money for anything. A little more you have should give us more security. That list could go on and on and on of counterfeit gods or things we think about more than him. Pride is another one. Pride is considered a predator. You know, pride goes with a lot of things, with your power, your success, or you know, you're proud of this here. Pride is a predator. Because, you know, school and just a lot of things is a pride. If you're proud, you're going to mistreat a lot of people. Because how do you hold your status other than stomping on people, mistreating them, putting them down? Another one, pursuit of happiness. Looking for happiness in all the wrong places. Even our family. Our spouse can be focus on relying on them for our happiness. Do they let us down? Have your family, has your spouse or your children ever let you down? If you're not, I'd like to hear your stories, okay? Because it's not working here. Possessions, vehicles, you know, it's just what we've got. 1 Samuel 1, 15, 23a. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness, and is as an iniquity and idolatry. Serving anything else other than God is rebellion and disobeying God. That made me remind me of a story. As this little boy was in the walking with his dad, and there was a mud puddle, and of course, you know, kids ran right in. Father says, "You cannot run in them mud puddles." He quit running and he started walking. He said, "You can't walk in that mud." Well, he said, "I couldn't run," and he still stands in the middle. He said, you didn't say anything about standing here. And that's a little bit like us in life. We know what they really mean, what God's law, what he really wants to do. But do we kind of push that a little bit? Oh, he says not to run, but if I walk, maybe I'm not quite so bad. Maybe we just, you know, we know what's wrong, but we just like the children, push it. Push the wrongs. How do I identify these things in my life? What are these gods or these idols? Look at the most prevalent emotions in your life. Where's the strongest emotion? What do you get most excited about? Do you get most excited about God as you do about that new tractor, a new car, or anything you got? Are going to go do something? Do you get as excited about that as you do when you think about God? Do I react the same about when I hear about God's love, His mercy, His sacrifices of His Son, as I do about getting a raise or making a little more money or somebody patting me on the back saying I do a good job? Does that get me as excited as talking about the Lord? Another is, what do I think about most? What is my mind focused on? How often do I think of God in that 7 days, other than between 9:30 and 11:30 on Sundays? Of that 2 hours, how much of the week is spent focused on that? What causes me to sleepless nights? What do I wake up at night worrying about? Did I lose my salvation? Or am I going to lose some money? Am I going to make it through? Have you ever heard the saying, enjoy the destination? Enjoy the journey, because a destination is a disappointment. Has it been ever? For me, it's been, seemed like, oh, we're going to do something. And I get excited and think about it, you know, and I get there, and it's never quite what I expected. Everything just seems to come up short. And another thing, we are not as personally responsible for our success as we'd like to think. I did this, I put this together, you know, I did this. All we have is given to us by God. Everything is given. We are just stewards. How can I remove these gods or idols from my life? When we begin to realize that idols can't be removed, they must be replaced and uprooted, or they will grow back. We can, you know, think, oh, I'm not going to do that anymore, or I'm going to change. But you need to be, it needs to be replaced, or it will come back, whatever we value. Luke 23:46. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Once we commit our spirit, then there can be growth and change in us. I'd like to read Colossians 3:1-5. This is probably one of my most referred to sections of the Bible. If you then have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Set our mind on things above. How can we do that? How can we remedy this? Remove these things for God to take place? Repentance. Spiritual discipline. Trust and faith. And then Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. God's main focus or reason for creating man is to glorify and praise Him. It's the main goal that He raised us, for us to praise and glorify Him. We can replace these when Jesus becomes more beautiful than anything else in your life, when you prize that more than anything else. Rejoicing is to treasure, assess its value, and reflect on its beauty and importance. Rejoice in the Lord when we realize and treasure when He's the treasure of our hearts. Repenting is probably the most important of these. Is it fear-based repentance, or is it joy-based? Is it like when the kids are playing and one hits the other one and you go tell them, you go tell you're sorry? Are they really sorry? No, because probably the next time, as soon as we're not around, if they make them irritated, they'll probably hit them again. So they are fear-based repentance. It's when we don't hate the sin, when we do it not to suffer the consequences. Joy-based is when we hate the sin. When we repent and hate what we've done. Spiritual discipline, private prayer. How much time do we spend in prayer? Out of that 12, 15 hours that they're awake. Corporate worship, like this morning. To me, there's going to be nothing, not nothing, I should say. This is a real delight to come and see these faces and you people again, to feel the love and support and encouragement that you give. It just helps the week. Meditation, just quiet time and spiritual reading. Do I take time for Him now for a life of eternity, or am I too busy today to go do my own thing? Am I ready to set my heart on God? It's a question I need to ask myself. Or am I going to continue to be valued by my own insight, my possessions, my financial status, is it job, which continually can let me down? And stressed, and also be concerned about how I appear to others. Do I appear to be a Christian? Matthew 22:36 through 40. The great commandment. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And He said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, which is the great and first commandment. And the second is likened to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. All this seems simple. To say it's simple. But it seems to be overwhelming. It's a continuous struggle to focus on God. Why? For me, I don't think I have the lack of trust and faith. Trust that it's all in His hands. That I don't need to worry about it. I don't need to try and gather all this stuff for me. And you've probably heard people say, on fire for Christ. Have you heard some people that are really touched by the Lord? Are really, you can see they're really for the Lord. What's the status of your fire? Can it be seen by anybody you encounter? Or is it just a little ember over here? Mine varies. How do we get it going? How do we feed the fire? What's the wood for our fire? Prayer. Bible reading. Time with God. And associating with people that show love, support, encouragement to us. That's how we can fan our and grow our fire. It's time with the Lord. The more time we focus with the Lord, the more we can not focus on all these other counterfeit gods or idols that can invade our life. Should we pray? Oh Lord, we ask for your help as a sinful, stubborn, selfish people to truly see and focus on you so that we are not concerned about our outward appearance. And just help us to fan and feed our fires so that it can be seen by all and also from this church so that others may come to know you. Lord, we just, again, ask for your forgiveness of our sins and your help in growing and deepening our relationship with you. Lord, be with each and every one through this week. Be with those that aren't with us this morning. Watch over them and keep them safe also and give them safety and travel. Lord, we again thank you and praise and glorify your name for the word that you have given us.